إن الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى: قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ayah. My dear friend and brother and Sheikh Abdulaziz Abdu'aij, our dear brother and elder Nasim Bhai, Mansha Bhai, without mentioning whose name my voice will stick in the throat, Atif, and all the sons of Nasim Bhai, who now shared property between him and me. My dear brothers and sisters, there is a serious problem that is happening here. That is a problem of role reversal. I am supposed to make you cry, not the other way around. And here, this is what you have been doing. So I don't know what you learned in the last 4 days. This is something you learned on your own. I never taught you any of that. The ayat I recited from Surah Yusuf is the introduction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him. We are introduced by our major job and the most honorable job that we do. So if somebody is a medical doctor and that person drives himself to work, when he is introduced or when he introduces himself, he does not say, I am so and so and I am a car driver. Although he drives a car, he says, I am so and so and I am a medical doctor. I am a surgeon, I am this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how to introduce himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, introduce yourself like this. Say that I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadihi sabili, this is my way. I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adu ila Allah. And I don't invite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without evidence, through mythology or some stories. I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala basirati, with clear evidence. And then the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which reflects the niyyah and the heart of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where whenever he is honored, he never leaves his ummah behind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala included the ummah in the introduction. Ana wa manittaba'ani, I do this work, and those who make my ittiba, those who emulate me, also do this work. And what is that work? That work is to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of humanity. I remind myself and I ask you to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, He is خالق السماوات والأرض بديع السماوات والأرض فاطر السماوات والأرض. He could have given us any job. And if He had given us that job and we had fulfilled that job and we had done that job, then that job would have been enough to get us into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made human beings and he could have made the Muslims garbage collectors. There's nothing infradig about collecting garbage. It is not haram. Somebody has to do it. It's good work, it's service. And we could have spent our entire life collecting garbage, cleaning latrines and toilets. And this would have been halal and it would have got us into Jannah. But what was the nature of that work? But what did Allah give us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gave us the work that He gave to the most glorious, the most honorable, the highest of His creation, which is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah gave him a job and He gave us the same job. So not only insha'Allah al-musta'an, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what we do and to forgive the numerous mistakes we make. So not only is this job, if we do it properly and with the forgiveness of Allah, insha'Allah, enough to get into Jannah, but it is the most honorable job that we can possibly get. I'm saying this because many of you mentioned the fact that I don't take money to teach these courses. And may Allah bless you. People give me dua. They said, may Allah give you more money somewhere else and so on and so on. My brothers and sisters, wallahi, Allah is my witness. I do not even do this for the ajr. I don't make dua for ajr for this work. If Allah gives, that is His generosity. Because for me, to do this work in itself is the reward. To do this work in itself is a reward. We don't even do it for reward from Allah. I don't say I don't want reward from Allah, because this would not be something that an abd should say to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. But I don't do it for that reason. And if there is one thing that you remember about me after I'm gone, if you forget everything, remember only one thing. And that one thing is, never take money for the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never take money to glorify your Rabb. Never take money to talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am a business consultant. I teach people how to make money. So what I am doing and what I invite you to do, please don't even think about the term sacrifice. A sacrifice is something which you own, you give up and get no reward. That's the condition of a sacrifice. I cannot sacrifice your car in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've got to do it. I have to own the thing. So I must own the thing. And when I give it somewhere, I must not get a return for it. So how does working for the benefit of Islam, how does working for the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualify as a sacrifice? So do this work for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. Alhamdulillah, Shaykh Abdul Aziz said to me when we were sitting here, he said, I met some people and they have a lot of wealth and all that, but inside is empty. And he said, today what you are hearing here from these people is the hearts. Hearts have been touched. And people are saying, none of the things that you said were scripted. Nobody forced you to say it. You said it of your own free will. And may Allah bless you. You made one mistake in all that you said. And that mistake is you said that this happened to you because of me. I'm not being facetious or, I'm not discounting what you said. I usually and greatly appreciate it and I'm most grateful, but I must point out this mistake. And I'll tell you why it's a mistake. It's a mistake because if you go for a walk in the park and you hear a bird singing, you go for a walk in the park. You know, my hobby is wildlife photography. I go all over the world and I spend time in the bush. So if you go for a walk in the park and you hear a bird singing and this reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, Subhanallah, look at my Rabb, how He created this bird. What a beautiful song of the bird. Who is that? Who's responsible for that? This is your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu who makes the bird sing. And because of that, He connects you to Himself. The bird is a bird. The bird does not sing because it has a message. It sings because it has a song. And this is what I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our language, in Urdu, I say, Allah maitala tota. I say, Allah, I am your parrot. तोते का काम बोलना है करना नहीं है. द जॉब ऑफ द पैरट इज टू सिंग नॉट टू वर्क. सो आई से अल्लाह डोंट होल्ड मी रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर वर्किंग. आई एम अ लेजी मैन. माई जॉब इज टू सिंग. आई सिंग खलास. इंट्रोड्यूस अल्लाह सुभानहू व तआला टू द पीपल माई ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स. How do you introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu if you do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu? And by know, I'm not saying know about. I'm saying know inside here. Knowing about, many people know about things. You know about this person or that person and so on and so forth. But you say, do you know him? There's a big difference. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. The more you know Allah, the more you love Allah. You can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two ways, and both are necessary. One is to reflect on the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which He sent down in His kitab, where He introduced Himself, because nobody can introduce Allah better than Allah introduced Himself. And the second is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reflecting and seeing this hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Of how He guides you and how He protects you and how He helps you and how He is in touch with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يئوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also introduced himself in terms of what he does for us. His ni'mat, his blessings, so that we may give thanks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an khalaqa al-insan 'allamahu al-bayan الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجان من مارج من نار فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان رب المشرقين ورب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وله الجوار المنشآت في البحر كالأعلام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان Introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. But you cannot introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people if you don't know Him yourself. And that is why it is essential to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is essential to study the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this purpose as I mentioned. And that is the reason why it is essential to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That seerah is the foundation of this course of the LEC. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu sent us to do this work, and He sent Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us and demonstrate for us what to do. The first standard bearer of Islam is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah all make us all of us standard bearers of Islam, inshallah. The incident that my brother mentioned, I'm talking about the seerah and those who love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I used to live in America, and this was in probably 1998 or something, those years when I was there, there was one African American brother who used to come to our masjid. He was about 25, 26 years old. He was the only Muslim in his family, there was nobody else. Everyone was not, I don't know how he even became Muslim, but wallah alam, he became Muslim. He was a poor guy, he was not a wealthy person, he was not highly educated or anything like that, he had some education. He used to drive a beat up jeep. And he was very big. He was, I think, easily about 300 pounds. He was a big guy, he was very strong. I remember one day, somebody, our sheikh there, he was also my sheikh, Sheikh Musawad al-Baqi, and he's the one who taught me, or re-taught me Tajweed, and re-taught me Qiraatul Quran, and then Hadith, and so on, so on. So sheikh had one big desk. So he wanted to move this desk, and that thing was like solid wood, I mean, it weighed a ton. So he wanted to move this from, you know, this place to that place. So he was telling us, you know, we should try to do that. All of us scrawny Indians, you know, you can't lift weights and stuff. So we were trying to find another 20 people like me to move this thing, right? When this brother came and he said, what's going on? I said, we're trying to move this desk. He said, get out of the way. I said, what? He said, move, get out. So I said, okay, he picked it up and left, put it there. He said, alhamdulillah. The reason I'm mentioning this man is not because of he was big and strong. I'm mentioning him because this man was ajeeb. Every time he would come to the Sheikh and he would say, Sheikh, for everything, Sheikh, how did Rasulullah put on his socks? Sheikh, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made wudu, what exactly did he do? Sheikh, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did he do this and how did he do that? I mean, every little thing from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man would go and ask. Sheikh, what about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did he do this? How did he do that? And then one day, we got this report that this guy is in hospital. So my brother-in-law, who's a neurologist, and he was in Bay State Medical Hospital. He was in the hospital where my brother-in-law is a consultant neurologist. So we went to see what happened to him. He was in the ICU. That morning they said he had a very severe migraine. This guy is 26 years old. He had a very severe migraine. So he just got up, he got into his jeep, he drove to the hospital and collapsed. So in emergency, they took him inside. He had a brain tumor and it looked like it burst. So he was in hospital for like 2 or 3 days in ICU, and then he passed away. He died. Now this man died on a weekday. This is America. You die on a weekday, they put you in the morgue until Sunday because nobody has time to go and bury people on weekdays and so on. But this guy was so particular about the sunnah, the sheikh said, we bury him. I mean, there's no way we are going to keep him anyway. He is going to be buried according to the sunnah as soon as possible. He said, khalas. So my brother-in-law and we said, may Allah forgive us. We said, you know, at least we should go to the funeral. This is a weekday. Who will come there? Who will come there? And on top of that, this is one poor African American guy who is no, I mean, he knows he's not some, you know, big wealthy person who's got a lot of family and this one and that one and so on. He says this man is, within quotes, nobody. He is the only Muslim in his family, so even his family is not going to be there. So it's not nice, we should go. So we went. Wallahi, Allah is my witness. When we went there, They were people like you won't believe. When we're driving up to the masjid, we see this long line of cars parked, and I'm scratching my head. I say, whose cars are these? What are these people doing here? They all came to the funeral. They could not accommodate the thing inside the masjid, so the Salatul Janaza was held in the parking lot. The entire parking lot was packed with people. And Allah is my witness. I used to study in that masjid. Those people, I don't know who they were. There were all kinds of nationalities. There were Arabs and there were, black people and white people and all kinds of people. I don't know who they were. Parking lot packed with people for the funeral of this one man. And Sheikh Wissam, he gave a speech and he wept and wept, and he said this over and over. He said, this man used to always say, Sheikh, how did Rasulullah do this? How did Rasulullah do that? How did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do this? He loved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I don't know. I don't like to make claims on Wallah Alam. I am sure that those people there were not human beings. Allah sent them. The Malaika of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the izzah of the man who loved his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you are black or white or green makes no difference. Allah is Jalla Jalaluhu, and Allah honored all people equally. The racism is our creation. Allah didn't create racism. The one who did racism, Allah put him into Jahannam. Shaitan, Iblis. He said, Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. He made a racist statement. He said, you created me from fire and you created Adam alayhi salam from clay, so I am superior to Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, get out. Go in the fire. This man loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let me tell you about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not going to take a long time because it's already a long time. But I will tell you just one incident from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's one of my favorite incidents which I have. I mean, these guys have heard it many times, but alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Fatah Makkah, he is going with his army to Taif. The army is on the march. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the commander in chief. He is the general in command. The army camps at the first destination after leaving Makkah, and Bilal radiallahu anhu goes to call the adhan. Now remember, the people in that army, the vast majority of them were people who were newly coming to Islam. So they were not people who had the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were not people who understood the adab of being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had just accepted Islam. I'm not going to comment and say that they were not true Muslims or anything like this. Allah knows what they were, but they had definitely, they were not people like the Muhajirun or the Ansar who had spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew what was what and so on and so forth. These people didn't know that. So they still had their old values of jahiliyyah, of asabiyyah, their values of tribal superiority and their casteism, and all of this was in them. So when Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu was calling the adhan, there was a group of young men from Quraysh who made fun of Bilal radiallahu anhu. So they made all kinds of, I don't want to repeat all those things they said, but they said a lot of derogatory things about the fact that Bilal radiallahu anhu was black and so on, and what is he calling, and so all of this kind, because there was a lot of racism, and the Arabs were very racist with respect to African people. Somebody came and told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this. They said, Ya Rasulullah, Bilal was calling the adhan radiallahu anhu, and these people were making fun of him and being derogatory and so on and mocking him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, call them, bring them here. Now, remember, this is the army on the march. Rules are different. If you do something at a time of peace in civil society, okay, there is a lot of scope for being lenient and so on and so forth. But when you are part of an army, you are a soldier in the army, and you are marching and you do some stupid thing which goes against the command, then effectively you are in very serious trouble. You can be court-martialed, you can be killed or executed. So these guys were brought. So when they were brought, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called them, he said, come close. They came. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sit down. They sat down. He said, is it true that you were mocking Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we were making fun, we are very sorry, we apologize and so on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who was the leader of you in this mocking? So there was one of them called Abu Mahdura. So they said, well, is this man. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, come close. And imagine that guy's situation. What must be going through his mind? He is in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the army. He is a commanding general. I did something wrong. I got pointed out. And he's calling me close. And maybe the next step is he says, off with his head or something. So he came close to him. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, shall I teach you how to make azan? He says, shall I teach you how to make azan? So Abu Mahdura says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. I mean, in that situation, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abu Mahdura would have said, yes, He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, listen to what I say and repeat after me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching Abu Mahdura how to make azan. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Abu Mahdura repeated, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said this four times and he repeated. And that is the Shafi'i Adhan. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح Abu Mahdura repeated. then Abu Mahdura, the man who was mocking Bilal radiallahu anhu for calling the adhan, he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Bilal is your muazzin in Medina. Make me your muazzin, in Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are my muazzin in Mecca. The historians say that Abu Mahdura, Allah gave him a very long life. He lived almost to be 100 years or more. And every single day, for every salah, he would come into the hall, he would make tawaf, he would pray two rakat of salah, then he would call the adhan. His entire life. This was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who would take somebody who was a sinner, who would take somebody who was a criminal, who would take somebody who was a rebellious person, and with his love, he would completely transform that individual, so that from internal, from himself, inside, this person would fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalali. My brothers and sisters, I've said this many times, and many of you, may Allah bless you, you come again and again to these lectures and courses, you've heard this many times. People accepted Islam because they fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not accept Islam because of some clever argument or debate or some theological point that they were convinced. People simply accepted Islam because Muhammad said so, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said there are 350 gods, they would have believed that also. They believe because he said so. And this is what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Isra al-Mi'raj, and the people came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they said, your friend says that God took him from Makkah to Jerusalem and then he took him on this journey of the heavens, and do you believe that? And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, if he said it, we believe it. They said, how can you believe it? This is so fantastic. He said, this is not fantastic. He said, what is fantastic is that he said there is one God, we believe that. What is fantastic is he said there is Jannah, we believe that. What is fantastic is he said there is Jahannam, and we believe that. What is fantastic is he said there is a day of judgment, and we believe that. He said, that is fantastic. Going up and down in the air is what? That's not fantastic. He said, if there is Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, who created the entire heavens and the earth, how difficult is it for him to take somebody from point A to point B and bring him back away? If he said it, I believe it. This is the position of the Muslim. If he said it, I believe it. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to take more of your time. It's a great pleasure and honor to be here. Kuwait is like my home. When I come here, seriously, I mean, this is like my home. And these people, so Manshabai and his family, these people here, Atif and Nasim Bhai, and these, where are the other two? Are they there? And Usair, may Allah bless him. He comes and takes all this from. these are my family. When I come here, it's like I have come home. And may Allah bless you and in this country, and may Allah protect you and keep you here. It's a wonderful country. I mean, this is the only country where I get invited by the Ministry of Awqaf, I get IPC. I did a series of workshops for them and so on and so forth. Such humble, such nice people. Abdul Aziz Al-Duwayd Sheikh, the first time I met him, immediately he invited us to the Diwaniya. We had dinner with him and all of that. May Allah protect this country. May Allah keep you here safe. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use you for his work. And you make you beacons of guidance to drive away the darkness of jahiliya, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of racism, the darkness of hatred. Islam is a religion of love and mercy. Islam is a religion of love and mercy. And believe me, people will believe that when they see it coming from us. We have to show this. Not only talk about it. We have to show this. We have to show forgiveness. We have to show love. We have to show mercy. And then the same thing will happen like it happened for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's the reason why you have used the hadith, may Allah bless you. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Bada al-Islam ghariban wa sayaudu kama bada fatuba lil ghuraba. He said, Islam began as something strange and it will go back to the way it began as something strange and give glad tidings of Jannah to the strangers. Who are the strangers? A person who stands for integrity in a world of corruption is a stranger. A person who stands for compassion in a world of oppression is a stranger. A person who has courage to stand against oppressors is a stranger. A person who stands for dignity in a world that is characterized by promiscuity and shamelessness is a stranger. A person who does not bow to the strong and supports the weak is a stranger. And believe me, all of these qualities today, this world is crying out for them. This world is hungry for these qualities. And we have been sent to give this to the world. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind you of myself that no matter what you do, whether you choose to do what Allah sent you for, which is to introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people, which is to introduce Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the people by our actions. Whether you choose to do this or not, your life will go on till the day it is supposed to be, till the day it's supposed to go on up to, and then it will be finished. And this is true for everybody. So it's not a question of whether we live or die. It's a question of how we live and how we die. Because everybody lives and dies. And that is what I remind myself and you. Let us consciously make this niyyah. And may Allah bless you, you have made this niyyah. Consciously make this niyyah. That we will live from this minute and moment onwards. We will live this life with only one consideration, and that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And if you do that, then believe me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put love for you and izzah for you in the hearts of His makhluk, not only human beings. Allah will give you izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors for you where you did not even imagine there were doors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you from sources you could not imagine. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ هَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for the man and the woman who has faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you and to bless all your families. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the path for you that leads to His mercy and leads to His grace and majesty. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to fill your hearts with His nur and to clean your hearts from everything which is masiw Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your hearts with muhabbat and hub for Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each and every one of you representatives of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when you walk, the malaika should look at you and say, this is a Muhammadi. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your mu'amilat like the mu'amilat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your life like the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your families like the family of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. When you raise your hands for du'a, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the du'a before you lower your hands. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when you speak, that Allah listens to you and responds to you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make His makhluk and make His creature subservient to you, to serve you, to do the work of the da'wah of His deen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you humongous wealth in halal ways. and then make you spend all of it in His path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you wealth without hisab and never to take hisab for that wealth. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you wealth as a gift from Him without your effort, so that your effort is spent in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to collect your hearts and keep them in His custody, so that they are filled with the glory and majesty of Allah and never come anywhere close to stress or depression or any form of disturbance of the heart. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to make your souls, your spirits, your ruh shine with the noor of His knowledge and the noor of yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the last of your days the best of your days, and to make the last moment of your life the most beautiful moments of your life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree and write in your qadar that your soul is taken in a state of sujood in tahajjud. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that your soul is taken in such an easy way, like a drop of water coming out of a jug, without any pain, any suffering. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you perfect health, physical, mental, spiritual, till the last moment of your life, and to take you in that state of perfect health where you remember everything, your mind is perfect, your body is perfect, to take you in that state of perfect health, glorifying His praises jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment to gather you under the shade of His throne when there is no shade except His shade. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather you there and to honor you as He promised to honor those who love one another for His sake jalla jalaluhu, by seating you on thrones of pearls. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to raise you on the day of judgment with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to decree in your fate and your qadar that you are given the water of the house Kawthar from the mubarak hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that you cross the sirat behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the speed of lightning, and that you are entered into Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la bi ghayri hisab. And finally, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to decree that you will be among those who will be invited to gather together at the place of Allah's choice, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Ridwan, who is the guard and the caretaker of Jannah, that Allah will say, remove the curtain from between me and my slaves and let them see me. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to gather all of you there on that day. I ask Allah that we should meet each other on that day, that we should meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should listen to the kalam of Allah bi sawti Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all that I asked and then give you what I did not ask as a sign of His grace and majesty and His generosity. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.